Well, we've been covering the practices of a Jesus-centered life that Bishop Currie has asked us to look at as an Episcopal church to determine how we should live differently than the rest of the world if we are Christians and if we are specifically Episcopalians. And we've looked at turn and learn and pray the first 3 weeks, and then we moved to more things that we do together as groups. We did worship and we did bless. And today we're looking at the word go, to go. Go is a very scary word. I've been reading the biography of Frederick Douglass. It was published last year. As I've been reading it, I've just been amazed by his life journey that he took in his many years, in his 70-some years of life. 124 years ago, he died on February 20th, so earlier this week was the mark of that day. And as I was reading in the first section, it talks about how he came to his faith. He was with an illiterate slave, Mr. Lohman, and he was a teenager, and he would read, as Frederick Douglass was able to read, he would read stories from the Bible, and Mr. Lohman would interpret them in profound ways, ways that continued with him for the rest of his life. Now, as he got older, and about a 20-year-old, he escaped from slavery when he was living in Baltimore, and made it to the north, and with his wife, and they settled into New Bedford, Massachusetts. And he said, "I need to continue these lessons that Mr. Lohman taught me." And he went to the church of his, what he considered to be the church that he grew up in. It was the church of his masters, the Methodist Church. Now, New Bedford was a progressive town. The Quakers, there were so many Quakers there. But when he got to that church on that day, the 12 black men were told to go up in the balcony for the service. At the time of communion, all the white people were served, and then the pastor called up to them, and he said it was a condescending voice that said, "Now the black sheep can come down." And Frederick Douglass walked out the back door, never to return. This is a lesson about what the word go can mean. Because even though the pastor didn't say the word go, he was saying, "Go away. Leave. You are not welcome here. You are not one of us." In that way, go is a very scary word for those who are on the margins, those looking for something in their life to be included in. Now, Frederick Douglass was telling this in his autobiography, and he tells this story about this experience, and he really talks a lot about the experiences that he has in churches throughout his life. In all of them, he's looking at not what is said, but the way people act, what they do, and what it says to him as someone coming in to some new community. He can really determine a lot about a place by what messages they deliver in the way they live their lives. Now, Frederick Douglass was somebody who took that message and made it something that was going to change the world that we live in. He went out and did that. But for many people, as they are on the margins of our society, those who are excluded, they are looking to be included. And the word go can be a word that separates and degrades and makes them feel like they're not receiving justice. In that way, go is a scary word. In the passage from the gospel that we just heard read, we hear about how Jesus was teaching a lawyer what the word neighbor was. The lawyer wanted to define that word. He wanted to narrow it down. He wanted to be able to love only certain people. But Jesus said, in order to love your neighbor, you must love all people. Anybody you encounter on your journey in your life. For Jesus, that was truly a radical way of thinking. And the people that heard it were scared because it changed who they were and what they were called to be. Frederick Douglass said that you could learn a lot about a place by how they treat those on the margins of their world. Now, go is a scary word for those people who are considered to be outsiders. But go is also a scary word for those who are comfortable, those in power. Consider the story that we heard from the Old Testament from Jonah. Jonah was a comfortable prophet. He was existing in Israel, and he was having a grand time in life. People celebrated his words because they considered him to be at the top of the social scale. But then God called him to go to Nineveh, a place he did not want to go because they would not have celebrated him. It was a place that he didn't like the people. They would have probably spit on him and thrown things at him, laughed at him, kicked him out of town. So Jonah got in a boat and went in the opposite direction. As he was going out there, you know the first couple of chapters are talking about how when he was on the boat, there was a storm, and the storm, he realized that it was God punishing him, and then he jumped into the water, the storm died, and the fish ate him. And as he was there for 3 days, he said a prayer and said, "Yes, I will go to Nineveh." And then he was spit up on the shore, and he went. And as we heard in the third chapter, the people of Nineveh changed their ways. Jonah was scared to go, so he said, "No." And that's often the case for those people who are comfortable, is that when they are called to go and do something that's going to change the world, something that is important to do, they sit back and they say no because they want to stay put. They don't want to rock the boat, as it were. Edwin Friedman, a famous rabbi who served right here in the Washington, D.C. area, when he was teaching his young people at the Bethesda Jewish congregation, where he had founded in the 60s, he told them that life was like learning to drive. And he used the symbol of the stoplight. He said, when you're driving, when you come to an intersection, you're pretty clear when there's a stoplight, when you should stop, when you should be cautious, slow down, and when you should go. They're marked by red, yellow, and green. He said the same is true when you're in life. It's when you have your mentors and your teachers and your parents, and they're telling you, yes, you should stop right now. You should be cautious right now. You should go right now. That's when life is easy. The challenging thing, he said, is that when you get to the point when you don't have those mentors and those teachers telling you when it's red and yellow and green. See, the adults and our mentors in our lives teach us about how to check for risky things. Don't touch the stove when it's on. Don't, floss your teeth, send your thank you notes. Those are the things that are easy to teach. But he told his young people that their mentors are much, they don't teach you so much about how to learn how to go out and do something important. Because they think that it's just, you just understand that you will just know that. But the natural inclination is to not go. It's to sit and watch and wait and think that it's going to be taken care of by somebody else. He said, the thing in life is knowing when to say go and yes. That's the big test of your life, is knowing when to do something important, to reach a goal that's going to change the world, something that's important, and knowing that you need to take a step to go do it. So he said, life is like this stoplight, and you've got to learn all of the different lights and how you can move through them. So as we think about to go, that activity, there are two major things that we've got to know and consider in our lives. First, we've got to learn how we need to go along with other people. We can't exclude certain people from our path forward, from our journey. Every single person needs our attention, needs our concern, needs our life, and our love. The second piece is that we've got to know when it's important to go do something, to go out and change the world, to go make a difference in the lives of other people, in the lives of the communities in which we live. And for that, we need to be able to say yes to getting out of the comfortable and doing something amazing. I'll say that it's for those people who are on the margins, who are considered to be on the outside of our culture. It feels hard when you get told to go away, to leave, to have barriers put in front of you. But it's a lot easier to go out and do something to change the world, to change your own life, because you have nothing to lose. For those in power, those who are comfortable, it's easy to tell people to go away, but it's much more challenging to take a risk to change the world, because it means that you've got to change your own life. As you think about those things, I call you to think about what the Lord's Prayer says. Not my will, your will. Let those words sink in and realize that it's not about you. It's about a much wider audience. It's the people that you live with every day. Those are the people that we must go to be a part of. Those are the people that we need to go and help and serve. Those are the people we must give up our power to make a difference in the world. That's what it means to go. It's to live a life of risk and danger and knowing when to go out and change the world that we live in.